Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Triple Jump podcast. It's a video game podcast. My name is Ben.
And my name is Peter.
Hello, Peter.
Hello, Ben.
Welcome back to the Northeast.
Thank you. I'm in a new office yet again, a new home office. I'm calling you from the home office. Just call me the Minister for Comedy.
Yes.
Do that.
I will. I bloody will.
It's all good. So I'll potentially have all the new teething problems of a new office all over again.
Yes.
And then theoretically, we'll be moving house in like a couple of weeks' time. We only came up here so we could start looking at places.
Brilliant.
So that'll happen again, and then eventually I'm sure we'll be moving back to the actual office. So it's just one computer move after another for me.
Brilliant.
Can't wait.
Yeah,
how are you?
Yeah, no, I'm good, just getting tired of this the ambient temperature of my home where I am trapped forever.
Well, it's funny you say that, Ben, because today's sponsor provides exactly the service you require.
No.
For those of you who don't know, this podcast is always sponsored every week by a definitely real, definitely genuine, definitely real company.
Totally real.
It's been a hot, sweltering couple of days here in the UK. It's been humid, it's been sunny, it's been a bit stormy. You know, what you really need is someone to come around your house, mm-hmm. and for a very, very low rate, just sort of stand in the way of the sun, just sort of block out the sun,
okay.
and you can sit sort of beneath them in the cool shade. So call us now. Shadow of the Cool offers. Which is a very clever name they've come up with there, because not only is it a cool offer in the sense that it's like a really great low budget discount price, it's really cool offer, but it's also a cool offer is a person who does cooling off, you see,
right? Like a cooler offer.
Yeah,
I see.
So you can sit in the shadow of a cooler offer by calling Shadow of the Cool Offers.
Fantastic. And then you have whatever a cool, like, office.
You will have a cool, yeah, Shadow of the Cool Office. It works on so many levels.
It absolutely does. I'm very excited and keen. Do you reckon there's a way that I could suspend them perhaps from the roof so they would be outside and blocking the sun from hitting my building at all?
The entire building.
Yeah, because it's not so much being hit by direct sunlight as much as it is warming up the building and making it very unpleasant to be in.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the cool off eye, as they're called, mm-hmm, plural, mm-hmm. They're pretty big, hefty blokes, giant stone statues walking along.
Okay.
So they could probably, I think they could blot out the sun for an entire building.
Fair, okay.
As I say, works on a lot of levels. But I'll tell you the fourth level it also works on.
Right.
Which is that it's not real.
No, oh, come on. I really had my hopes set on that one.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Nice, cool office.
Yeah, I was really hoping for it because my fans, what they do is they circulate hot air
Yeah, that's nice, isn't it?
They aren't great. But even then, when you stand up out of them to go to the toilet or go and get a drink or something, you just suddenly start perspiring as if your body's saying, hey, I liked that I like being blasted with hot air.
Yeah, you don't get any benefit. You sit in the hot air blast feeling horrible, thinking, this isn't doing anything. And the moment you move out of it, you're like, oh God, it was that was good. I didn't know when I had it good.
Rubbish.
Sitting there. Yeah.
Absolutely rubbish. Well, anyway, a load of baloney apparently. But you know what's not a load of baloney, Peter?
What?
Our wonderful patrons over at patreon.com/teamtriplejump who support us for as little as $1 per month. But that little dollar goes a big way. That's the phrase, isn't it?
Certainly does.
It goes longer, harder, faster, stronger. And if you
by the Gorillaz.
Sorry?
By the Gorillaz, that song. It's a good song.
Yeah, it certainly is. If you support us over at patreon.com/teamtriplejump and support us at the $1 or more tier, you can ask questions for this very podcast. We have other tiers available, of course, and we implore you to check them out. But $1 is all it takes. Ask a question on this podcast. Yeah. Such a person who did that, Peter, the $1, that is.
Yeah.
The person who did that is
Bonoffi.
Oh.
Bonoffi asked a question. It's a two-parter. Part one was, where are we walking today, Ben? And why do we always miss that out every single time?
I have no idea. Maybe we're walking on the actual sun.
Okay, yeah, that sounds about right. Okay. Bonoffi's second part of their question with the announcement of the Netflix adaptation of Beyond Good and Evil, who would Peter like to see cast for Jade and Uncle Paige? And hypothetically, if they made a Final Fantasy VII Netflix show, who would Ben like to see cast as Cloud and Sephiroth? Yeah, this is some weird news. Do you know what? I don't think I've unpacked any paper yet.
Oh, what? You mean your weird news device?
I don't have my weird news. Oh, I don't know. I might have to use my mouse mat or something when the time comes.
We'll make it work.
Yeah. But this is some weird news that happened a week or so ago. I didn't expect this. Apparently Netflix are doing an adaptation. I guess Ubisoft are trying to just add a bit more hype to their universe. Because at the moment, although they... had a good couple of CG reveal trailers at E3 a while ago now. Mm-hmm. You know, apart from that, people who've not played the original have no interest in Beyond Good and Evil at all and probably never heard of it. So
yeah.
I think that's probably the plan here, is to throw a show out on Netflix. Got a little write-up here from Polygon. A film adaptation of Beyond Good and Evil, the cult classic 2003 adventure from Ubisoft, is in the works at Netflix from Detective Pikachu director Rob Letterman, a Ubisoft representative confirmed to Polygon. We're excited to work with Netflix on the Beyond Good and Evil feature film, and we look forward to sharing more in the future, said Ubisoft in a statement. The movie will be a hybrid live-action/animated feature, according to The Hollywood Reporter, similar to Detective Pikachu.
Nice. A couple of things here.
Yes.
Firstly, the fact it's actually being produced by Netflix means it will happen.
Yeah,
because they just that things being made by Netflix do actually happen, rather than, hey, we've got 20,000 directors who've signed on to the project. Also, I can understand the reasoning, obviously, as you've just said, in terms of trying to build some hype, but this seems like a strange choice.
Yeah.
It seems like a strange choice for a film, and that's not anything against Beyond Good and Evil whatsoever. I don't mean anything by that.
No, yeah, you're right.
I just think as a cult game, it's a very strange choice to be adapted into an animated style live action film.
Yeah, that's the thing. So although I do see the logic from Ubisoft's standpoint, they were probably sitting around thinking, man, how do we get people interested in our game or our IP? Oh, why don't we make a movie? See if Netflix are interested. You know, I still don't understand why Netflix were interested. You know, how did anyone actually get this sold and pitched and sold? You know,
Netflix,
you're right.
Netflix might have reached a point now where people come to them with money and just say, hey, will you make something for our IP and put it on your service, please?
Maybe so. Yeah, maybe. Because it's not even like that anyone went to Netflix with a great idea and Netflix like, oh yeah, that sounds great. Because apparently they're hiring writers for the, like, this is like, it's only just started development. It's in like very pre-production stages. So it's not like someone went to Netflix and said, read our epic screenplay, and someone read it and was like, oh, we've got to make this, you know? Someone's just gone there and said, Beyond Good and Evil game, and Netflix have gone, yeah, all right, sure, whatever. So we'll see where it goes. We don't even know for sure whether it's actually... it seems to be that it is going to... Well, I don't know, actually. I don't know if it's going to be an adaptation of the first game or if it's going to be some other thing set in the universe that maybe adds lore to either the sequel or the original. But under the assumption it is an adaptation of the original game, fantasy casting, man, I don't know. I'm always really bad at this. I think we had a question about fantasy casting a few episodes ago, and I'm so bad at doing it. But I've got a couple of ideas, really. Mm-hmm. I think to play Uncle Page, who is the big pig man uncle in the first game, I think either actually just David Gassman, who is the original voiceover artist and has come back and reprised the role in the trailers for BGE2, because he's got a great voice for it, and it's going to be a CG character presumably, so you don't have to look the part necessarily.
Yeah.
Or I think John Goodman would be a great Uncle Page.
Okay.
Yeah. Just you know, he can he's got a bit of attitude. You know, he's played some characters in the past who are either they've got a temper or they're witty, or, you know, he's got like spark to him, but he can also play some really nice you know, parental characters or like paternal characters. You know, he's got heart and soul, I think. Mm-hmm. John Goodman at times. So that's what I think for Uncle Page. For Jade, though, I don't know, it's so difficult because something about Jade is that her ethnicity is very ambiguous. She looks like she could be Caucasian. She could possibly be like East Asian. She could maybe even have like kind of Afro-Caribbean heritage. And it's not been like confirmed or denied by the writers at any point. And I think I think the only thing they've said on the matter is that like she's from a different planet. She has ambiguous ethnicity. This is kind of the point.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I was thinking for ages, and then out of nowhere, I kind of thought I'd really like to see Natalie Emmanuel play her, who was the lady who played Missandei from Game of Thrones.
Okay.
You know, Daenerys is like maiden woman.
She's been in loads of stuff, hasn't she? Is she in Deadpool 2 and Fast and Furious as well, I think?
Oh, I don't know.
I think that's also her. What's her name again?
Natalie Emmanuel.
Natalie.
I've not seen either of those films, so I don't know what else she's been in. But I really liked her in Game of Thrones. I think at times she would like come out with, again, a bit like what I was saying about John Goodman. Like she can play these like quite subdued characters, quite like seemingly just sweet people. But then occasionally she would come out with, you know, a bit more attitude, I guess.
Yeah.
I think, you know, I mean, Jade has very straight hair. And I think, like, Natalie Emmanuel's hair is fantastic. I think she looks great. So I think they should, like, totally, if they cast her, they should just completely leave her hair as it is rather than, like, straighten it out. But other than that, you know, I think she could do a, you know, she suits the role really, really well. Like, she suits the original character. So,
nice.
Yeah, that's what I would say.
Yeah, she was in Fast and Furious, but no, I'm getting her confused for Zazie Beetz.
Oh, okay.
She's in Deadpool. Deadpool 2. I think it's the hair.
Right.
Similar big hair, which you're right, mm-hmm. is awesome. And
yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a good choice. I could see that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. What about you? My first question actually is, have you ever fantasy casted Final Fantasy VII before?
No.
Just no.
No, because it's not going to happen. It's not, because right. they would never do it. They've done, you know, they have their animated films that they do.
Yeah.
I would be amazed if there was some kind of live action show or film, because it would make everyone furious, because then it just becomes that there's the timeless internet debate of should they be Japanese, should they be Western, what is the I don't know. It's just, it would be a nightmare basically from start to finish to produce. I was thinking about this earlier. If I was to cast somebody as Cloud Strife, I would probably say Tom Holland, because he has the he has the frame, the physique. I think he's sort of that kind of build to be Cloud, and you know, I'm sure he can play someone who's not earnest and nice. I'm sure he can do that. I imagine he has range. In terms of Sephiroth, that's difficult because that requires also a fairly youthful looking but taller, slender person.
I thought you were going to say a wing. We need to find an actor who's got one wing.
One wing is necessary. I don't know any of those. But yeah, needs to be a slender person and not as in Slender Man from the video game that everyone loves. So I was just thinking then, and I may get crucified for this, and there's probably loads of other options, but because they need to be sort of youthful, and I don't know many young actors because I don't watch a lot of, you know, TV, you know, with I don't know. I can't find the right wording in my brain. It's too early and it's too warm, but you know what I mean.
I can't
really think of someone who specifically fits that bill. So I'm going to say Jim Parsons. Sheldon from the Big Bang Theory, right?
Okay.
Because I have a feeling that in his sort of soft, lispy voice, he still looks very young. He's tall. He's gangly. I feel like if he had the hair, the makeup, the clothing, and was given the Sephiroth script, he could be quite unnerving. You know, he could be...
I can kind of see that, yeah.
He could be quite upsetting in that role, and I think that's sort of... exactly what you need. But then again, you know, that there's probably millions of very talented young actors who I've never heard of who fit that bill perfectly. So who knows? But those would be my two suggestions right now at 10:30 in the morning on this, a Thursday.
Yes. Yeah. No, that sounds like, at first, it sounds a bit mad. It's like Jim Parsons. But I think you're right. Like, with hair and makeup, I think he could play... Yeah, he could do, like, a very unnerving sort of almost... I don't know, a little bit alien, a little bit...
Yeah, he already looks like a horror villain.
Yeah, sure.
So, it's not too much of a stretch.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, there we go. Good. There's some fantasy casting. Should we move on, Peter?
Let's never do fantasy casting again, because I'm so bad at it.
I'm going to keep bringing them.
Yeah, okay. It's time for a new section, Cutting Edge. Mm-hmm. We call it, What We Play In...
It's time for What We Play In. Peter, what were you playing?
I've not had that much time this week to play anything because I've been doing a lot of packing, been doing the move itself, been doing unpacking. So actually, this week, all I've been playing is my live stream game, which is Crash Bandicoot 1 again, the PS1 build. Sort of managed to pull back the potential 100% run. I finished the game to non 100% in the previous stream, so we got to the Neocortex boss fight and killed him. No, we didn't. He survived. Spoilers. No. Now I've backtracked, gone back to the previous levels to get all the gems and stuff. Slightly cheating a little bit because. I know you're not a big Crash boy, a big original Crash boy, but you may know that in the Crash games, you get gems by hitting every box in a level and getting to the end. And if you destroy every box on a level, you'll get a gem for it. That's the reward. But that's how it works in Crash 2 and 3. In Crash 1, you have to destroy every box, but you also have to do the entire thing in a single life. And... Oh. That's a very difficult game anyway. You know, you've got like the high road and slippery climb and stuff like that. So I've been half cheating in that I was making save states, but only at checkpoints. So essentially, all I had done was removed the requirement for me to do it in a single life. So that's the bit of cheating that I was doing. I've been playing it in Crash 2 and 3 mode, essentially, which I think is how it worked in the Insane Trilogy. I think almost all the gems you didn't have to do in a single life in Insane Trilogy. There's only one or two that were a bit harder. But so that's what I've been doing. Been cheating my way through Crash 1.
Nice.
Very excited, though, now to be reunited with my television and therefore be able to play my PS4, mm-hmm. To start playing Horizon Zero Dawn.
Yes, of course.
It was I got it as a birthday present,
my goodness,
like months and months ago.
Literally
in the middle of
half of the amount of months we've progressed through this year ago.
Yes, exactly. It's just been sitting there. It's still in its cellophane because I've just not had any reason to unwrap it yet. But yeah, really looking forward to playing that at long last. Mm. So hopefully this time next week, I'll be able to say, what have I been playing? Well, a bit of Crash Bandicoot, but also Horizon Zero Dawn.
Oh my God, what a world.
Yeah, so we'll see.
That's very exciting.
All being well.
You just need to give me a shout and I'll lob The Last of Us across the river towards you.
Oh my God, yeah. Do you have a physical copy?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. Oh, well, now you've got me very excited.
You need to flip a coin and decide which one first.
Oh, maybe I should play that first, because I've managed to, apart from the spoilers that we got dealt ahead of time,
yeah.
I've not actually seen any spoilers since the game came out, which is a miracle, to be honest.
Well, I'll run it over later today when I go for my run. I'll just put it on your doorstep and run away and say, it's downstairs, quick, before the seagulls get it. They've been waiting to play
it. Very kind of you. Oh, fantastic. Yeah, maybe you should do that. That'd be very kind. Thank you.
Poor Horizon. Still stuck in that cellophane. At least take out the cellophane.
I should do, shouldn't
I? Make it watch.
Yeah. And not only has it, you know, been sitting in, you know, not only has it been like several months since I got it, but, you know, let's not forget that the game itself came out like, what, 2 years ago?
Yeah, 2016. Oh, no, 2017,
Three years ago, yeah. So it's been waiting a really long time, if you consider that, whereas at least The Last of Us only came out in, you know, this year. But anyway.
It's true.
What have you been playing, Ben?
No, I've been all over this week, Peter.
Oh, have you? Yeah.
Yeah, I went on... I escaped Newcastle for the weekend, which was hugely exciting. And I went and stayed in complete isolation in the Welsh countryside. Which is obviously... Oh, you played Rascal as well, by the way, which is why
you're right.
We did a slightly weirder approach to our stream for Uplink this past weekend, where we streamed the worst game ever. I was doing it from someone else's living room in the
you're
middle of nowhere.
You're right,
but,
yeah.
Yes, that was my sort of... I've talked about it on here before, my sort of gaming holiday. I do it a couple of times a year with friends. So it was intended to be shortly after my birthday, but obviously the world ground to a halt and nobody could go anywhere. So now that things have relaxed a little, finally went and did that, but did it elsewhere. Did it in Wales at my aunt's lovely home, which has nice views and is very spacious and comfortable. And
it is. I've been there.
It's a lovely place. And we dragged two TVs with us, three PS4s, got there, and now every room has a small television in it. And it was like, oh, brilliant. What a waste of time and car space that was to bring all the TVs. But I posted a photo on Twitter. We got it all set up in the living room. One of the party had not played Borderlands 3 yet, so we started new characters in Borderlands 3 and played through... probably I'd say three quarters of the game in across those few days when we were in Wales. Ooh. So played a lot of Borderlands 3. What a wonderful game. Still thoroughly enjoy it. It's still I think one of the best co-op games ever. Like, it's just so good. Still got a lot of strange, weird, glitchy bug issues that are that are just completely unexplainable and why they still exist. And but it was good fun. Played that. Also played maybe two games of Fall Guys. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
It's all over social media, Fall Guys.
Yeah.
They're really, really going ham, as it were.
It is on PlayStation Plus this month. And it's basically Takeshi's Castle. But you play as a little jelly person and it's online against, I think, 50 other players. So you all start at the beginning of this assault course, and it's all kind of funny physics and trying to avoid getting smacked off the map and stuff. And you have to finish in the top percent to qualify for the next round, and so on until you win. But it's really, really silly and really good fun.
It's a bit gang beasts,
exactly,
isn't it?
Yeah, it definitely is. Yeah. It's got big gang beasts energy. So that was good fun. I've played Cuphead. I am on the last boss. I have nearly finished it now. I am tired. It makes me very tired. But King Dice will be very familiar to people who finished the game or played Cuphead. He's the penultimate boss. And he's a right pain, in my estimation, and I think in a lot of people's estimation, one of the tougher fights because it's so long.
He's a right pain in your estimation.
Very good.
Yeah.
Minister for Comedy. Becky. I want to see your tax returns.
Oh, God.
How many homes have you got, huh?
My expense forms, yeah.
Exactly. Mm. And basically, you have to fight several mini bosses, and then you get to fight him, but you have to do it all in one go. Mm. And he's a right pain, and I beat him because of a glitch. And it wasn't something I did intentionally, and I had mapped it all out, like I'd made a note of which mini bosses I wanted to fight, because you have to jump up in the air and slap a dice, because it's all gambling iconography in this game,
right?
That's how Cuphead and Mugman got into this situation in the first place, is by gambling. And so you have to slap the dice, and you land on different bosses, basically, as you make your way across a roulette wheel sort of thing. I don't know the terminology. I'm not a gamble boy. But I mapped out which mini bosses I knew I could fight without taking any damage. And they're not too hard, the mini bosses, but it's just the duration that's the issue. So I mapped it all out. I got to King Dice. I had 5 health because I'd picked up some health along the way, because it does throw you a bone a little bit.
Right.
And I was like, this is the time I'm going to do it. I know I can do it. And he slams his hand down, and he does a weird little walking gesture with his hand, and a parade of cards follow him out of there. And you have to jump over them, and you can parry in Cuphead sort of purpley pink items. And you essentially slap them, and it makes you do a big bounce. And every so often in this stream of cards, there's one that you can parry. So you have to parry and then use that momentum to jump to the next one. And it's really tough.
Right.
But he did one set of those. And then I used the gun that sort of automatically locks on but is weaker, that weapon. And I stood there, and he moved his hand down again to do it again. And he started doing the motion as if the cards were about to come out, but no cards came. Oh. And so I just stood there paralyzed, hoping to God that this glitch was favorable and the game hadn't broken. And I just stood there and I kept firing, and I beat him.
Oh, God.
And I got I lost no health, technically. So I got like a really good score as well. And wow. I don't know how I feel about it, because part of me thinks you should really do that again. And
then part of me thinks, completed it.
Part of me thinks, but this game makes you so unhappy.
Yeah.
Please just take the win and move on.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm in two minds about what I'll do next, but either way, I'm on the last boss fight now, so hopefully next episode it'll be done. And
fantastic.
I will have finished it. Beyond that, played a couple of games of Warzone. There's been a big new update on there, so that there's now a train that goes around the whole map, which is super fun. So everyone's trying to fight to get onto the train and ride it around this huge battle royale map, which is fun.
Nice.
The stadium as well is now open, so you can go inside the big stadium that's in the center of the map and fight through there. So there's, you know, they're changing things up, and they're making it, you know, it's still free, and that's kind of great.
Yeah.
I do like Warzone. As I've said before, I don't dislike battle royales, but I don't like Fortnite and I don't like Apex, and it's not because I think they're bad. I'm not very good at them, and I feel like the learning curve is too steep for new players, and I don't want to dedicate the time to it. Whereas in Warzone, I always feel like I have fun every game, even when you know, I've won a few times, but I still feel like I have fun even when I don't win. It's still a good laugh, because you can just get straight back into a game and land somewhere else and stuff. And I know that's the same with all battle royales, but I don't know. Maybe it's just Call of Duty. I just find it more fun.
Yeah.
And beyond that, Ghost of Tsushima. Still playing that. I've got to be sort of close to the end now because I've got most of my skill upgrades, but I haven't had much of a chance to play it this past week because I've been away and playing other things. So still chipping away, still very good, but that's what I've been playing.
Oh, wow. Wow, sounds good.
Yeah, yeah.
We should move on to another question, though, now.
Yes.
Who's brought question two to us today, Ben?
This is Damien House Turner, who, of course, is of the House Turner dynasty.
Yeah, Damien of House Turner.
Yes. Sort of, it's the original naming for flipping a house. So, right. So Damien and his family, they buy up property and then they sell it on.
Yeah, it's occupational surname. Yeah.
Exactly. Damien House Turner. Hmm. He says, "Hi, Ben and TP. First off, I want to say what fantastic work you guys are doing and thank you for all the great content before and during the world burning." Very welcome, Damien. Thank you. "What is the greatest act of kindness you have encountered online? Mine was my headset broke and a fellow gamer I had only played a few hours with bought me a new one that cost nearly £70. A true, genuine, nice person on Xbox of all places," he says. wow, that is very generous.
That is, yeah, definitely. I was trying to remember trying to think for ages what I was going to say to this question because I couldn't think of necessarily any big significant gestures. I could think of lots of nice little things that people have done before, but I was trying to think of anything like that. And I remember this isn't something that happened to me, but I used to, in my very, very early days of doing YouTube videos, there were a couple of people that I would occasionally just make gameplay videos with back when I was getting like 100 views on my channel or whatever. So it was like a very tiny group of, there were probably only like a dozen or so of the names that always came up in the comments. And it was like there was a tiny little community, a micro community. The guy who I used to, one of the guys I used to play games with on YouTube, we were talking in, we were playing Minecraft actually. And in the video, we were talking about how he'd always really wanted to play Portal and Portal 2, but he'd never got round to it. And he was like, "Oh yeah, you know, I'll have to get him on Steam at some point. But you know, I think he was a student at the time, and he was like, I can't spare the cash. So that's something that I'm looking forward to when I graduate and get a job or something." It turned out, as I spoke to him after the video had gone out, someone had messaged him on Steam and just said, "Hey, I'll buy you, I don't know if it was is the orange box even a thing on Steam or not? But in any case, he ended up with a copy of Portal 1 and Portal 2.
Nice.
Just bought by someone who was watching our videos. And it wasn't, you know, I can kind of imagine someone doing that to me and you now because people are ridiculously generous.
They are. And
if you have a big enough following, a big enough community, there's going to be someone out there statistically who is both very generous and maybe has the expendable income as well that allows them to make such a gesture. But it was so strange to experience that as just, you know, some guy who made a bit of, you know, a few gameplay videos on YouTube and there were like a handful of people. And, you know, in that tiny sample size, there happened to be someone who was that way inclined. It did blow my mind at the time. It was lovely.
Yeah. That is lovely. Yeah. Sort of like an early days of almost Twitch kind of
thing. Yeah. Yeah. I guess it is like that. Yeah. Because we've had that. I know someone, you know, we get like donations for stuff and people kind of, they're not just donating to the channel. They sometimes say like, "Oh, get this with this money," or, you know, they're like, "Get yourself a Domino's," or "Get yourself some new headphones," or whatever.
Yeah.
Which is, it's that kind of idea. Yeah.
It's true. It's, you should see our monthly company sort of expenditures. It's like wages, £20, Domino's, $3,500.
Yeah, because we can't not get Domino's with all the Domino's money that people send us.
Absolutely. In fact, most of our money is earmarked for Domino's. That's where it goes.
Domino's $3,500 and toilet paper $7,000.
Yes, but most of that is importing it from countries where they still have toilet roll.
Yeah.
That's it. No, toilet roll's fine now, right? It's been fine for a while.
Yes, it's all good. Definitely.
I saw a toilet roll meme yesterday and I thought, oh, yeah. Get with the times, old man. That was like 3 months ago. Come on.
Yeah, what, so out of date.
Goodness me.
What nice acts of kindness have you seen on the internet, on gaming?
I have had a similar situation where I was talking on a podcast at the time. I was playing Batman Arkham Knight, and I needed one more trophy for the Platinum. And that was some stupid free-flow combat trophies. And they're always the worst ones in the Batman Arkham games. And this one involved in a particular stage, or it may not have been in a particular stage, but this was the easiest place to do it. Basically, keeping up a free-flow combo, so without getting hit and without waiting too long before hitting someone else to break the combo. In that, you had to do every single one of Batman's moves. Every single one. Every single attack variant, including environmental takedowns by throwing stuff. It was ridiculous. It was so hard. And I think there were like 24 moves or something you had to do in one combo. And it's just like, no, why would you make me do this? I've already got every bloody Riddler trophy.
Yeah.
Why are you now punishing me with this... this test of skill? I've given you my time. Is that not enough? So I was complaining about that. And one of the listeners reached out and said, oh, I'll do that. I'll do that for you. I've got that. And so using SharePlay, in the early days of SharePlay on PS4, and SharePlay, if you're not familiar, is where you can pass the controller to someone, to one other person who connects directly to your console, basically. It's like a one-way stream. So you're streaming your gameplay to one person, but then you can give them control and they can play. So it's very clever and it's a really cool system, and I hope it comes back for PS5. But did that. It was the early days of SharePlay anyway. I think I was still living at my parents at that point, and I was living in a garage, and my internet was not good out there at all. I was so far away from the router. So the connection was probably awful. And this guy connected, and you know there is latency inherently when you connect over that sort of thing anyway. There's always going to be latency, so I can only imagine how challenging it was. But basically, I just sat down and just went on my phone for a bit and looked up, and I had a message, and she said, it's done. And I was like, what? I didn't even hear it. And I checked, and I had the Platinum trophy, and this guy had offered to just help me out. I think his name was Tyler. He was in Canada. And I went online and I bought him some Canadian PlayStation Network credit and sent him the code just as a thank you. That was awesome. So I now have that Platinum, and I didn't entirely earn it myself, but I feel like I did. I put the time in.
Thanks, Tyler.
Thank you, Tyler.
Hmm.
There we go. If there's anyone listening called Tyler,
it might be you.
You're welcome. Hope you enjoyed that sound clip. Peter.
Yes.
Getting someone to help you out with a trophy, that's a bit odd, isn't it?
Just a minute. It is a bit odd, we're just receiving... Odd, yeah. Okay. I don't think this is going to...
Give us a sound test.
It's not...
Hey, that's good. That scratching noise was good.
Yeah, I'll do that then. Okay. I won't thud it against the desk that my microphone is sitting on. That's probably not a good idea.
It's time for Weird News!
Weird News!
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's weird news time. Peter, what strange video game news have you brought along today?
Click, click, slide.
Click, click.
Slide mouse along desk that now doesn't have mouse mat. This is from Polygon. Patricia Hernandez has written an excellent write-up. The latest installment in one of our Weird News regulars.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to have a guess as to what game it might be?
Is it Red Dead Redemption?
It certainly is.
Yay!
So yeah, this is Polygon, Patricia Hernandez. Red Dead Online is so broken right now, you can't even shoot.
I thought it was going to be a slightly different one because I saw one on Kotaku that says players think that the latest update has made their horses more stupid.
Oh yeah, I mean, so the headline is you can't even shoot, but the subtitle is no animals, no NPCs, and many other glitches.
Oh my god!
So this is a collection of all the issues plaguing the game at the moment. The first sentence in the article uses the word ameliorate, which I'm hoping I'm saying right.
Yeah, that sounds correct.
Yeah, okay. We'll just go with that and hope that the comments don't spontaneously combust. A recent Red Dead Online patch meant to ameliorate some issues with the Naturalist update has instead completely destabilized the game, according to players who are attempting to load into the Wild West right now. The issues are vast, some plaguing the game in the past and some completely new. Many people are reporting a complete lack of characters and animals populating their servers, making Red Dead Online something of a ghost town, which has been a problem in the past, it says in parentheses. Horses seem to be the only friendly faces that players can count on right now, but often the steeds are completely glitchy as well. Fans perusing the new update are sharing clips of invisible horses, horses that phase in and out of reality, horses that are on fire, horses that run in place, and more. It's better than that time Red Dead fans kept encountering huge piles of dead horses, but not by much. And then there's loads of embedded tweets with different people's clips. One of them, I'm not going to click it because we're on Skype at the same time as we record this, but it looks to me like it's a horse just without any legs. It's just
wow,
a horse like hovering off the ground without legs. So there's loads of those. You scroll down a bit. Some players say they can't even shoot right now, depending on what you're aiming at, which makes it impossible to complete quests or specific roles. Then there's loads more footage of people not being able to shoot or atting Rockstar Games saying, why can't I shoot in your rubbish game? Then, though, it goes on, and this is really weird. I don't know why this wasn't the headline.
Okay.
Perhaps the funniest, if not weirdest, issue fans are encountering right now is the sudden inexplicable appearance of a bald man. There are no NPCs except for this bald man in some lobbies. Sometimes he seems like a real person, and sometimes he's like a translucent ghost. Nobody can explain it. And then again, loads of screenshots and videos of a really creepy-looking bald guy.
Oh, I can't wait for the creepypasta to come out about the bald man.
Yeah, because sometimes he's see-through. He looks like a ghost. He is actually translucent.
God.
And he's got sort of a strange facial expression. Others are reporting a number of crashes and errors right now. A Rockstar representative tells Polygon that the developer is aware of the recent problems and has erected a support page that says they are working on a fix. For now, most players seem to be steering clear of the update since you can't really do anything without NPCs, animals, horses, or the ability to shoot in this cowboy game. Update. This story has been updated to add comment from Rockstar. Here we go.
Wow.
It's all going well over there.
Yeah,
right now.
It's all going great. It's a problem. It's such a shame, isn't it, that every time we check in with Red Dead Online, it's because something strange has happened or something.
Yeah.
You've got to assume that people exist quite peacefully carrying soup across the map between these moments where, I mean, presumably they can still carry soup, correct?
Well, I guess so. I didn't mention that there's a problem with the soup carrying mechanic.
Well, there we
go.
Not sure.
There we go.
Yeah.
That
should be fine then.
The interesting thing is, I think maybe two or three podcasts ago, we said, poor old Red Dead Online, they're never going to get anything other than more glitches. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not going to be given any DLC. Then the Naturalist expansion came out.
Yes.
I saw the trailer for that on YouTube. I was like, oh, good for them. They've got new content. But lo and behold, it's now just broken the game entirely. So you can't even play the old content either. Poor old Red Deaders. Have you got some weird news there, Ben?
I have. I certainly have. It's from Kotaku and the editor-in-chief of Weird News, Luke Plunkett.
Luke Plunkett, of course.
Sniper Elite's board game has a Hitler shot in the balls miniature.
Okay.
Right.
Of course it does.
Sending it to you now on Slack. There he is.
You know me. I love any game that allows you to... Oh, goodness me.
There he is. Look. You see
Testy
him?
Kill Mini.
Yep.
I like it.
That's it. Like every other video game ever made that has sold more than 4 copies, Sniper Elite is being turned into a board game and sold on Kickstarter. Just
Jesus, Luke.
Just absolutely dripping there from Luke. And if you pay a little extra for the deluxe upgrade kit, you get a plastic miniature of Adolf Hitler getting a bullet in the old meat and two veg. Which, in case you missed it, is a key feature of the Sniper series. The game itself sounds cool in the way that only board games can manage, where simply listing the premise and setting is enough to get people excited. I don't think Luke really likes board games.
No, I get the impression. Not.
One player gets to be the sniper while up to 3 others control the German forces. The sniper gets to sneak around the map unseen while the Germans are trying to find him, protect targets, and or in a worst case scenario, prevent the sniper's escape. This being Kickstarter, the more you spend, the more stuff you get, and so while the basic box looks fine, the Hitler figure above is joined by all kinds of fancy special miniatures, upgraded tokens, and expansions if you're willing to go above the minimum spend. So, yeah, one of them is just a plastic miniature of Adolf Hitler clutching his gentle nuggets and looking upset about it.
Well, the big question is, so did you say, is this tied to a specific Sniper Elite game or is it just the Sniper Elite board game?
I think it's just, the embedded video is Sniper Elite V2, Hitler shot in the balls, because I played the Sniper Elite 3, I think, whichever one was out on PlayStation Plus last year, and I don't think Hitler was in that one because it was in Italy, I believe. I'm not sure.
I'm only looking at a Steam page here, but from what it's saying, I think Hitler was in Sniper Elite 3, but it may have been DLC or something.
Okay,
that might not be true, but in any case, in Sniper Elite 2, the question that I was asking was, does Hitler have 1 or 2 balls in Sniper Elite? Because, of course, Hitler has only got 1 ball. The other is in the Albert Hall.
Yeah, let me go to the footage on this and watch this. It was Sniper Elite 4 that was on Plus last year, which will explain it. Okay, I'm going to watch the video now. It's 1 minute and 56 seconds long. Sniper Elite V2, Hitler shot in the balls, kill cam. Let's just skip through it until he actually does a shoot in the knackers. Oh, Going to show me in slow motion? Okay, it doesn't really go into the gratuitous detail I was hoping. Hang on. I can tell you with certainty that Hitler has only got 1 ball.
Really? In Sniper Elite 2?
In Sniper Elite V2, Hitler appears to only have 1 testicle.
I'm now on the Sniper Elite wiki, the Adolf Hitler page.
Yes.
The trivia section. The first bullet point. Hitler is believed to have only had a single testicle. Shooting him in either Sniper Elite V2 or Sniper Elite 3 will reveal him to have 2, although he'll only have 1 in Sniper Elite 4.
Oh, so he is in 4. Okay, I'm confused because in this kill cam, there's clearly only 1 testicle.
Oh,
so
goodness me.
I mean, we'll have to go to the scientists on this. Scientists, please tweet us at Team Triple Jump. At that Peter Austin, at confused_dude, let us know.
Because as much as Luke Plunkett provides an invaluable service to us here at Triple Jump, mm-hmm. doing the weird news, I would like to just call him out when he says meat and 2 veg, because it may well be meat and 1 veg.
Meat and 1 veg. Yeah, absolutely. We need more information. That's really what I was hoping to get from this article about a plastic miniature for a board game. And
if you cut it open, how many balls are inside?
We've been let down. Yeah, well, there you go. If you're interested in that, you can get a miniature Hitler getting shot in the balls thingy.
Miniature.
Yes.
The Testy Kill Mini, that's what it's called.
That's what it's called. Celebrating one of the greatest hits in video game history. Very nice.
What, Hitler? Or is that who they're referring to?
I don't know. Or if it's a double entendre, maybe. They're talking about not only Hitler, but also, you know, it's a hit, like an assassination.
Yeah.
Not entirely sure. Who knows? Let's move on, Peter, to another question.
It's from Danielle Murray. Danielle says, "Hello, boys. Following on from last week's nostalgic episode, have your preferences for certain games changed as you've got older? Has what you want from video games changed as well? For example, my husband, yes, we're married,
good,
used to be a stinky COD boy, but Nat, let me just move the Skype thing out of the way. The overlay. Used to be a stinky COD boy, but now prefers playing games to have fun with his friends. And I used to love platform games, whilst now I'm more drawn to more open world style games as I have aged. I would love to know your thoughts on this. Please keep up the good work." Thank you, Danielle.
Thank you.
I definitely used to play more FPS games when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
Used to be a stinky boy. That's FPS pronounced phonetically.
For pod's sake, right? That's what it stands for.
It's no secret that I'm a big Halo fan. Used to play a bit of Call of Duty, but only at friends' houses. I've never owned a COD game. I tell a lie. I had Call of Duty 2, which I really enjoyed. That's a great game.
Is that the big red one? Or is that a different one?
I think there's a spin-off called The Big Red. It's like Call of Duty 2, The Big Red One for PS2.
I always thought that was a very funny name.
Yeah, but on 360, there was just Call of Duty 2. I think it was on 360.
It is. Well, it is, because I've researched it for a video.
Oh, there you go.
It's real, and it's true.
Really good game. It's quite different, like in comparison to where the series has gone now. And I don't just mean the time period, because it was World War II, but like it's very, very different. But really good game,
mm-hmm.
And good story, as they always are. So Halo, COD 2, of course, Time Splitters, which is no longer with us. I even used to play stuff like Serious Sam and things like that. Black on PS2, mm-hmm. That was a really good FPS.
Yeah.
But I've not really played in the FPS apart from maybe if we've done stuff for work, you know, for videos. I've not played in FPS for years, as far as I can remember.
Yeah.
I've been playing Halo on stream, actually. But
that's true.
Certainly not on console. I've not played a console FPS for years, I don't think. And also, I think when I was younger, I used to play PC games a lot more, just generally. I was quite into like management games or strategy games, like top down, you know, there's a whole city underneath you, kind of those sorts of games.
Mm-hmm.
Stronghold and Theme Hospital and that kind of stuff. But not playing so much of that now. Again, apart from occasionally revisiting things for streams and YouTube videos. So I guess in place of that, I probably enjoy very narrative heavy stuff a bit more now. And I'm not talking about action adventure, you know, Uncharted, Last of Us kind of stuff. I've always enjoyed that and I still do. But even, you know, the games that me and you have played together on the joint Blaze It streams, you know, the Dwavid games,
mm-hmm.
I never thought I would enjoy those. And that's why I'd not played any of them. I've just sort of avoided it thinking, not going to be one for me, I don't think. When we played the demo for Detroit Become Human, wherever we were, EGX, I think,
yes.
I thought, man, this, yeah, I can see the appeal here. And I'd been watching a few, walking sim games as well on YouTube, which of course are very narrative heavy and gameplay light. And since playing those on stream, I definitely see the appeal now and I can enjoy that a lot more. It's not made me play them in my own time yet, but that's partly because I don't play that much game, that many video games outside of work anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly I can appreciate them a lot more as I've aged. So that's probably how things changed for me over the years.
Nice. To be fair to you, in regards to FPSs, I think they're just far less prevalent than they used to be.
If
you're not going for Call of Duty or Battlefield, you know that you aren't. You couldn't move for them 15 years ago.
Mm,
They're just, I think a lot of people are making, I mean, there are as we've discussed before, there are far fewer double A studios than there used to be. You're either big AAA or indie. And there are certainly indie shooters out there, but I think indie developers are now able to take bigger risks because they're independent and they can make, you know, more interesting experiences than just Gunman.
Well, I've also just realized I'm a massive liar on that count as well, which is pretty much a full house now of every claim I've just made. Okay. Because I played loads of Battlefront, didn't I? Which I've just remembered is an FPS.
You did, yeah. But it's also a third-person action game when you're playing as a lightsaber person. So,
and you can play it all in third person, so it's not strictly an FPS. So it still counts, about.
Technically, actually. As for myself, I don't know that my tastes have honestly changed that much, because I grew up with Final Fantasy VII, which was a grand RPG narrative experience, and I've played, you know, games over the years. Certainly in my formative years, I was a big fan of Spyro 3, Year of the Dragon. But I haven't touched a platformer or a collectathon since, really, not at all. On the PS2, didn't get into Ratchet and Clank or Jak and Daxter, and I enjoyed the Reignited trilogy very much, but, you know, I haven't really touched those since then. So I suppose actually that is a change, is that I haven't played those kinds of games since then. I also love Tony Hawk's Pro Skater. Tony Hawk's, is it Tony Hawk or Tony Hawk apostrophe S Pro Skater?
I think it's Tony Hawk's Pro
Skater. I've always called it Tony Hawk's, but I'm not sure. Yeah, Pro Skater 2 on PS1. I loved that game. I was absolutely rubbish at it though, and so I never really played any of the other Tony Hawk's. Any of Tony Hawk's games since then.
I enjoyed Underground a lot.
Did you? Yeah. I know Underground was a popular one. I bought Project 8 or Proving Ground, whatever the hell it was called, on PS3. The one that had the Foo Fighters as one of the soundtrack. The What If I Say I'm Not Like the Others. I can't remember what the actual name of that track is. But I remember that just like skating around a warehouse listening to that and thinking, this is a really good song. God, I'm bad at this game, and I've never touched them since. So, yes, certainly there were games that I played in my formative years that I have since fallen away from, purely because either they're not really being made to a high standard anymore, or I actually just played them because I had no idea what being good at or enjoying a game was at that point. You just sort of played it because you had it.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, there was a really long period where I didn't have PlayStation Plus or played multiplayer games at all over the last few years because I just didn't have enough money. I couldn't justify having online. But I play online. But since, I've come back into online in a big way in the past year and a half. I play a lot of games online now, and I really like Warzone and stuff like that. I suppose I have tried new genres, like we discussed last episode, Resident Evil, you know, those are new games that I would never have touched that I've since come to really enjoy, and Metal Gear Solid is the same as well, and I've shied away from others, like, again, sort of 12, 13 years ago, give me an Ubisoft open world, and I'm blown away and love it.
Yeah.
A decade later, I don't want them anymore. And so I've shied away from that type of game anymore. I think the biggest change though is that I'm now more respectful of my own time than I was before. And I found that even if it's a huge game like Red Dead that's critically acclaimed and people love, if I'm not enjoying it, I'm far more likely to put it down now than I used to be. I would have probably just forced my way through it and probably really enjoyed it. But at this point, now, if I start up a big game and I'm not feeling it immediately, I'm far more likely to put it down than I was. So I'd say that's the biggest change in my gameplay.
Time is money.
Exactly.
You're a busy man.
Money is time. Pizza is power. Yeah. Power is pizza, and money is pizza, or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It certainly is.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Well.
Oh.
Are you ready?
Yeah. Hang on. Nearly. I put it.
Did you put it
back
under your mouse? Yeah, yeah. Obviously that makes sense.
It's it's time.
Yeah, it's time
for something big.
For the big. Are you okay? Do you just feel a bit silly with your mouse, Matt, or what is?
For a big pause, and while we work out who's going to say.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, then, on three. One, two, three. It's time for the big
discussion.
Okay, on three.
Do it. Just okay.
Big discussion. Three.
Big discussion.
Big discussion.
Go. It's time.
Big. It's big discussion time, Peter.
It is. Sorry, I was just putting my mouse right back down there.
Okay.
Yeah.
This week we get a big discussion from Ginny. Now, Ginny, I have translated what I believe her question to be, because it's a little unclear. I'm not sure if you read through it.
I have. Yes.
I don't know if you agree with me that perhaps the meaning of the question is a little lost in translation in there somewhere. So I'm going to read Ginny's question, and then I'm going to read what I assume it means. This, obviously, Ginny, please don't take this personally. It's a really good question. I just wanted to make it perfectly clear what it was that you were meaning. And I hope I got it right as well. Let me know if I got it wrong. Ginny asks, once again, I'm asking you boys in regard to my ongoing debate with my coworker. Here is our most recent debate. If Microsoft has enough of the third party, then it could be enough for xCloud. Yes, I need my God of War and Tsushima and Horizon, but Red Dead is free on Game Pass right now. It is on par with the others. It's a serious question for people who aren't PlayStation diehards. Everything or everything plus Sony exclusives? So, great question. I think what she's saying is, would Game Pass / xCloud containing almost every third-party game be of more value than playing on PS5 and getting access to their top-tier first-party titles as well? So, the debate is, get Xbox and all the huge third-party games are free on Game Pass / xCloud, and you can play them anywhere. Or would you rather buy all the third-party big games that you'd like, but also play on PlayStation and get access to their first-party games as well?
Which may be ultimately a more expensive,
thing. But you might get a better experience, and you know, you'd potentially miss out on really good games if you're on Xbox for the sake of saving money. It's a good question. And it's a good point.
It is. Yeah.
What do you make of it?
I think it is a good question. It's a good point, a good idea. And I think it adds something to the debate of, you know, do you go PlayStation or Xbox or whatever else? But I still think ultimately the debate remains what me and you always say when people ask us this on Twitter or on the podcast or whatever, which is that I still think it comes down to exclusives. I think that no matter how good the deal was no matter how good, if it was ridiculous, then yeah, maybe you'd start rethinking things. But as things stand, you know, a Game Pass / xCloud thing containing every third-party game, yeah, certainly sounds very valuable and intriguing. But if you really, really, really want to play Spider-Man on PS5, or you really, really want to play, you know, The Last of Us Part 2, there's kind of no alternative. So you have to go with PS5 in that respect. And so I think the way it has to go is, no matter how the deal might change with things like Game Pass and so on, ultimately you still have to just think, well, are there any Sony exclusives that I'm really going to sort of not be able to live without, kind of? And if I can only have either PS5 or switch to Xbox in our case, then you have to stay with PS5 if that's what you want out of it.
Yeah.
As I say, it definitely adds a new thing to consider, that, you know, hypothetically, if all the third party stuff was available on Game Pass. But if you want that Spider-Man or whatever else, then PS5 has got you. It's got you good, I think. And fair enough. You know, that's the whole point of having these first and second party studios. You know, to boost the repertoire, the library. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, that's what I think.
Games Pass or Game Pass or whatever it is, one of the two, and xCloud, they're going to be huge. And if it reaches a point where almost every, if not all, Xbox games are on this service, including third-party games, every game that comes out, Microsoft work out some kind of deal where it's part of your Game Pass subscription, then PlayStation is going to have to respond at some point. They're going to have to come up with something to answer that, because that's just unbeatable value. Like, it's insane. And you're right. The exclusives, I will always go for the PlayStation exclusives, and I'm very familiar with the PlayStation ecosystem, and I like playing games on the PlayStation platform, which is why I will continue to do that regardless of the the quality of value for money that Xbox might offer. But if the average person is told that they can get almost every game for a monthly price, then surely they're going to go for that. You know, it may reach a point where mums or dads, their child wants a games console, so they get them the cheapest games console, and it looks pretty likely that that's going to be the Xbox Series X anyway, from what the scuttlebutt is. And then they learn that on top of that, again, Microsoft really needs to get their marketing and their messaging straight here to communicate this to the lay people who aren't part of the plugged in gaming centric community like we are, as we've discussed ad nauseum. You know, we are in a very small bubble here. We know what's going on, but the vast majority of people don't. And so if they can effectively market and communicate to people that they can get hundreds, if not thousands, of games for free as part of this subscription service, then that's going to be huge. People are going to go for that purely for the value alone. But then it's up to PlayStation to say, hey, well, you know what? You guys can go over there and get access to Assassin's Creed Valhalla for however much a month if you want when that comes out. Or you can come over here and you can have Spider-Man. You know, you want Spider-Man?
Yeah.
You can come and have Spider-Man. So PlayStation really need to... I'm not at all worried about PlayStation producing first-party exclusives that are lacking. I think that will always sell PlayStations. What I am not even... Concerned isn't the right word, but what I am concerned about on PlayStation's behalf from a business perspective is if Xbox can offer unbeatable value in terms of giving people loads of games for very little money. But then it becomes now with the news about Halo Infinite being delayed until next year, out of the launch lineup, is it going to be about the long game for Xbox at this point? Because day one, Game Pass having Halo Infinite on it is a huge selling point for the Xbox Series X. And even if it wasn't on Game Pass, having Halo Infinite in that launch lineup day one is the big system seller. Yes, there's going to be some great games in there, I'm sure. You know, we've seen the game showcase so far, but none of them are anywhere near the caliber of Halo. And so while there are lots of day one Game Pass titles, is that going to be enough when PlayStation 5 has probably Demon's Souls and probably Spider-Man Miles Morales among, you know, the third-party games that, yes, may be included on Game Pass in the long run, but surely won't be included immediately?
Well, and also the stuff from the tail end of the PS4, you know, that will just carry over to PS5, so Last of Us Part 2 and so on and so
That's
forth.
That's true.
You know,
you've got to imagine there'll be enhanced versions, even though you can play them.
Surely.
You can get your enhanced versions too. But very quickly, let's talk about Halo Infinite in that vein, because I'd like to get your thoughts on this too. This comes directly from studio head Chris Lee. The decision to shift our release is the result of multiple factors that have contributed to development challenges, including the ongoing COVID-related impacts affecting us all this year. I want to acknowledge that hard work from our team at 343 Industries, sorry, the hard work from our team at 343 Industries, who have remained committed to making a great game and finding solutions to development challenges. However, it is not sustainable for the well-being of our team or the overall success of the game to ship it this holiday. Now, obviously, taking that at face value, Peter, you've got to look after your people and you've got to make sure that they're happy and healthy. And, you know, that obviously everyone wants to make the best game possible. However, do you think that this has to tie in some way to the somewhat negative reception and reaction to their showing at the recent Xbox event?
Without a doubt, I think for sure, you know, they've... So they're saying it's COVID-related impacts affecting development this year. And there might be some truth to that in the sense that they think that the issues with the quality of the game from what we've seen so far may be as a result of, you know, impacts to the workflow that they've had over the past 6 months. But whether or not it really is because of COVID, ultimately, I think it's even been... Someone from Microsoft or 343, I can't remember who it was, basically said publicly, I think it might have been in a tweet, that graphically it's not actually acceptable, is it? Or kind of, you know, they saw the backlash to everyone's new favorite monkey man. I'm sure there was some statement from a high up person saying, yeah, it's not really, yeah, it's not okay, actually. Okay, sorry. Mm-hmm. And you know, now we've got them saying we're going to push it back. So yeah, I mean, to me, it just sounds like they have decided we need to spend more time on it. And we can't do that without either pushing our staff to breaking point, which we're not going to do, or moving the release date. So to me, that's what this is. Mm-hmm. Whether COVID specifically had an effect remains to be seen. It may just be that they kind of thought what they were doing was acceptable because the game's been in development that long. It may just partly have been because it's been a long time coming, and you know, we've seen from I know it's a much worse case, but you know, something like Duke Nukem Forever, yeah. You know, if you have a game in development for much longer than first anticipated or intended, then that can obviously really hamper the overall quality of release. So they put this product together, showed it off, a lot of online backlash, and now they've thought, oh man, okay, we've got to change this. So whether it was COVID or not, I don't know. Mm. But yeah.
I saw a great article on Push Square about how the ball is very much in Sony's court now to not drop it, because assuming that both the consoles still come out at the end of the year, assuming mm-hmm. that happens, and God, they are running out of road here to talk prices and release dates, because people yeah. need to be prepared. Sony is currently standing there with a roster of very, very big announced PS5 exclusives. Some of them have been confirmed to come out next year. Some of them have been confirmed to come out the year after. But certainly there's at least a couple that you would imagine are ready to go at launch. And as long as they get the messaging, and it's all about the messaging and the marketing, it seems, but as long as they get it right, and as long as they're able to shout about, hey, PlayStation 5, day one, play Spider-Man, you can do it. Yeah. Then Microsoft is going into it without their biggest game. And at that point, I wouldn't put it past them to push the console's release to make sure that Halo is ready, because I don't. They need to get this generation started on the best foot possible, and they built up a lot of goodwill with Game Pass and its value. But if you don't have a tentpole game to launch with, then that's not going to be good. It's really not going to be good. And tying that back into Ginny's question, I think certainly talking about the immediate value for money proposition between Game Pass and, you know, having to pay for your third-party games as well as getting PS5 exclusives, I would rather the latter. And I know we've already said that you and I would prefer PlayStation for its exclusives anyway, but if I had it explained to me, hey, you can get all these games for free as part of your subscription, or you can pay for the games that you want, but you also get access to these, you know, you can also buy these amazing exclusive games as well, I'd go for PlayStation. Halo Infinite might be enough to tip people towards Xbox if given that question. But personally, I would go for PlayStation if there's going to be no Halo. I don't know if it's worth just delaying the console as a result.
Yeah, you might be right, because you have to hit the ground running, as you say, at launch. You really need some big stuff to push it. I've just found this is probably what I was thinking of. This is apparently a write-up from NME.com, okay. Which unexpected, but halfway down this article, 343 Industries also acknowledged that it's seen the breakdown, as in the breakdown of what was revealed in the trailer, and recognized it has a lot of work to do. We've heard the digital foundry assessments, the developer stated. In many ways, we're in agreement here. We do have a lot of work to do to address some of these areas and raise the level of fidelity and overall presentation for the final game. While some of the feedback was expected and speaks to areas already in progress, other aspects of feedback have brought new opportunities and considerations to light that the team is taking very seriously and working to assess. So they know they've got a lot of work to do on the fidelity of the game. That's direct from 343, according to NME.
God, well, we will continue to watch the situation with interest as this continues to be one of the strangest next generation console launches
Yeah, it is, isn't it, really? It's very these unprecedented times, absolutely, as everyone says.
Absolutely. Even if COVID hadn't messed anything up, this is still a very interesting approach to it all. So we will keep an eye on it and see what happens. But as always, please do let us know what you think on Twitter, social media in general, or just in the comments section of various different places, Peter. Isn't that right?
Yes, you can comment and chat during and beneath all of our content on youtube.com and twitch.tv/TeamTripleJump, where we post videos and do streams. The streams are moderated by Lob Rotovich, Cecil Prumps, Madster Dactyl, and Trowling Badger, doing excellent work. Thank you all. We've got social media, twitter.com and facebook.com/TeamTripleJump. Luke Eldon looking after Facebook for us. Thank you. Patreon.com/TeamTripleJump. There's all kinds of rewards over there if you want to support the channel. We've got a Discord, bit.ly/TeamTripleJump, modded by Jack and Joe. Also doing a great job. Podcast is available in audio form if you're watching on YouTube right now at play.acast.com/s/TripleJump. The website, triplej.mup, that's tripleju.mp. We've got careers tab on there, keep an eye on that and so on. And all the live stream VODs are available at triplej.mup/VODs, which redirects to our VODs channel, Triple Jump VODs.
Absolutely. You can follow Peter on Instagram and Twitter at @ThatPeterAustin and myself just on Twitter at @Confused_Dude. We do lists every Tuesday and Thursday, streams every Monday, Thursday and Friday, Thursday being the joint Blaze It streams on YouTube, the other two being on Twitch. Worst Games Ever is fortnightly, Friday for patrons, Sunday for everyone else. It wasn't a Worst Games Ever week this week, but it will be next week, so go check it out. Mm-hmm. The podcast is every Saturday, and we do shows one every other week. Please leave a review on iTunes or your platform of choice. It helps something to do with algorithms. This week, or I say this week just gone, we had the mighty Cadicarus.
Yes,
on what it means to me. So thank you very much to Cadicarus for coming on and talking all about
how did we manage that?
I have no idea. Well, I mean, I think we can publicly thank Tom Campbell for hooking us up there.
Sure, we
wonderful
should do,
man,
yeah.
Who always goes above and beyond for everyone he knows. He slipped into the DMs, and as such, we were able to open a line of communication there. And just a big thank you to Jim for coming on. It means a lot, and I think he did a very good job. It was a great episode.
I really enjoyed just listening to it.
So, if you'd like to go watch that, that's available on the channel now. Released yesterday at the time of the release of this podcast, so Friday. We'd also like to thank the organizers of Uplink, the retro expo we were a part of last weekend, and a big thank you to any of you who came along and watched. We did a live episode of Worst Games Ever, and it was a lot of fun, and my goodness, what a terrible video game.
Oh, it was. It was bad, wasn't it? And we just about managed to fill the slot without too much repetition,
yes.
I think, and backtracking. Difficult. And we finished the level, spoilers. We finished the level in an hour, which was fine.
We absolutely did.
For those who were asking, I think, at the time and just after and just before, whether we will be able to post a VOD of that, I believe in due course we will be doing that, right? We kind of wanted to give it a bit of grace, given that obviously some people, kind of went out of their way to turn up live and, it was Uplink's event. We wanted to let them have the content as theirs for a time.
Yeah.
But I think we will be eventually posting the VOD, so you will all be able to catch up on
absolutely
that eventually.
Look for that next month or thereabouts. But
yeah.
Yes, we will hopefully have it in our hands very soon, and then we will we'll make a decision about what to do with it. But yes, huge thank you to Uplink for having us, and I hope those of you who came along stuck around to see lots of the other talented panelists and the first convention we've ever officially been a part of in terms of lineup. But certainly, it was very unique in that it was digital as well because of all the craziness.
Yeah.
But we have, and I forgot to mention this to you actually, Peter, but we have been invited once things return to normal to actually be part of it in person at some point.
In actual New York.
So, I mean,
wow.
No promises about that happening because it's difficult to get to New York, and God knows when things are going to return to #the new normal. or what that's going to look like. But certainly we very much enjoyed taking part, and we look forward to being involved again.
That's very nice that we've been re-invited.
Yeah, absolutely. Finally, Peter, talk to me about the sponsor for this week.
Oh, it ain't our fault, is it?
Yes.
It ain't our fault.
Yes, it isn't.
No, it is. What? Lots of negatives there. You can get less hot by hiring a big person or colossus to come and stand and cast a big shadow, and you'll be called off. And also, we're doing 50% off right now, so it's a real cool offer. So ring 0800 123456789910 to get in touch with Shadow of the Cool Offers.
Love it.
Or Cool Office.
I love it. I can't wait. I'm going to go and take them up on it now. It looks like it's about... The skies are about to empty, it looks like, outside.
Yeah, it looks like that. It's very humid.
So we're going to wrap up this recording. I'm going to throw on my running clothes, quickly jog across the river, throw The Last of Us at Peter, and then go for a run before I get electrocuted by sky electricity.
Oh, scary.
Yeah, very.
Okay, best
very
of luck,
scary.
Friend.
Thank you very much for listening, everybody. We'll be back again next week. Stay safe and just, you know, just be cool.
Just
how
do
you feel?
Yeah.
No, you can't say that one. That one's copyrighted.
I was
trying to think of
I'm
a new sign-off. Just be cool.
Just be cool. Cool offers.
Cool offers, right? Cool. Hey, yeah. Cool offers.
Hey, triplej.mod/shop.
Yes, for some, cool offers. Brilliant.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's go then. Bye, everybody. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.